Hi guys, welcome back to True North. My name is Angel, and today I have two very special guests with me. Pastor T.L. Wilson, pastor of Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, and his beautiful wife, recording artist, officially Lady J. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hey Angel, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. I just feel so privileged and honored to be a part of your podcast. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, and I just love to be a part of anything that's the inaugural. You know, I love the, you know, I like to be the first. I like to be on something that's on the breaking ground. So really a privilege and honor to be here.
Well, thank you guys for agreeing to come on because I was a little scared. But yeah, as you guys can tell, this is the first episode, and the title of this episode is Getting Real, and I found it very fitting to be in Real Gospel, getting real conversations with the pastor and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, that's real.
Well, you know, that, Lady J, that's part of our mantra, of what we stand for, you know, real people, real issues. We serve a real God. And
call and he preach real a real gospel. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
So I'm like, I don't know where to start. Well, I guess the first question is, like, how did you guys come, like, into the church? Like, were you, like, when you first came into the church, like, what was your standards or, like, mindset when you guys first came into church?
I'm going to let Lady J go first.
Well, when I first came into church, I was a kid, so I was drugged and made to go, and my mindset was to really not be there, and how long is this going to last? But as I got older and more mature, the things of the Lord, even at a young age, I knew that I needed Christ. So I'd asked the Lord at about age 6 to come into my heart and to fill me with His Holy Spirit, and He did just that. And I can't say that I've walked without shortcomings, but I can say that I know the Lord in the parting of my sins, and I thank God that He's a redeeming God.
Wow. So for me, my story, a little bit similar, but different as well. I lived in Maple Heights, grew up in Maple Heights, and my parents would make us go to church. We had a church right on our corner. So Mount Moriah Church, AME Church. And so my little brother and I, we used to watch David and Goliath on TV in the morning, and it would go off at 9:30, and then we'd walk to the corner church. And, you know, my parents never came to that church. They just made us go. So because I was made to go, I asked my daddy, when could I stop going to church? And he said, when you get grown. So one of the first things I did when I got grown is I didn't go to church anymore. So when I went off to college, I didn't go to church or anything. And I got back introduced to church by my sister, who belonged to a Baptist church. And I went there, and that's when I got saved. And then I got the Holy Spirit after I met my lovely wife. She introduced me to the deeper things of God. So that's kind of my trail.
Okay. So my question for you, Pastor, what made you want to become a pastor?
It wasn't that I desired to become a pastor. What had actually happened is that my wife and I, we went on a fast. And as a result of that fast, the Lord spoke through me. And as my wife wrote those things down, and part of what was said was that we should start a ministry. And that's what we did back in, what year was that, honey? That was back in, that was...
Back in the day. Way back in the day.
January 1st of 2005. Okay. And so January 1st of 2005, that's when we started Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church. And at that point, the Lord told us to start a ministry. We started in our home, and we did weekly Bible studies every Wednesday. And then we did that from 05 to 07. And then the Lord blessed us with a building, our first building, and that was in Oakwood Village. And so we rented a building there, and that's when we started the church back in June of 2007. We've been doing it ever since.
I actually remember the old building.
You remember the old building? Yeah.
That was the first time I actually ever came to the church in 2011.
Oh, in 2011? Yeah. Wow.
That was the first
You've
time.
You've been with us for 13 years? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Time really does fly. Fast. It goes real fast.
She's a little girl.
Yeah, wow. That's where me, Alicia, Lisa, and Casual did our first praise dance at.
That's right.
But you was ahead of the game, though, because they didn't have to drag you into the church. You wanted to come as a young woman.
So how did you learn about real gospel back in 2011?
My foster mom, Ms. Sandra, love her. She, because I think we came, when we first came into her home, it was like a Wednesday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And, well, Alicia had actually already been there, my sister Alicia. She was already there because she was doing respite there.
Yeah.
And then I came in like a week later. Right. And so she was like, yeah, they can come stay with me. Well, she was willing to foster us, thankfully.
Oh, wow.
And she actually brought us to the church. Well, she was, like, we weren't even, like, officially, like, in her care at that point. Like, we were technically doing respite with her at that point.
Gotcha.
Before she actually renewed her license to foster us.
Mm-hmm.
And so she brought us to the church, and that's where we actually met both of you.
Oh my goodness. So that's funny, because the way I met your mom is that I did a memorial service for one of our members, and it was at a funeral home. And I did that, and she said from hearing that particular presentation of the gospel and doing that particular service, she followed up and then started going to the church. So,
yeah, I love you guys. Like,
we love you.
Like, after like that first Sunday, like we were ever here, like I'm like, this is it.
Well, you know, the one thing I know, my wife will probably have her own sentiments and echo maybe some of it, is the fact that you're so humble.
Mm.
You're humble in the things of God, and I think that's one of the greatest attributes that a human can have when we accept Christ and we're humble about it, you know. And when we humble ourselves, the Bible says that he will exalt us. He's the one that lifts us up. So you've always been so sweet, so nice. And, you know, sometimes we don't like young people because we have kids.
No, we don't like
you. But we love our children, all right? I'm just being facetious.
But we love Angel.
But you're so nice. You're respectful always. And we truly, truly, we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I appreciate
it. I was just kidding.
Real gospel loves Angel. Is it true? Is it true? We do, we do, we do.
Too much Kenyan and Kale back in the day, you know. You like orange soda too?
I do like orange soda.
I do.
Mm-hmm. But I like Angel better, though.
Oh, no, Angel, you've been great. I love it when I look back at the old video of you and my son, and you guys were in the car and did the little skit.
No, that was Alicia, actually. That wasn't me, that was Alicia.
He was crossing the street.
You were crossing the street.
Yeah,
that's right. They were yelling at you and bumping the horn.
Yeah.
Okay,
so if you've never seen it, go to Real Gospel
on
YouTube.
Right.
And I'm going to post it on Instagram at Real Gospel 1 next week. So follow us there.
Right. So how was your experience coming to the church and being the age that you were back then?
It was different for me because I, don't get me wrong, like I've always grown up in the church.
Okay.
No matter like what foster home I was in, mm-hmm. I always found a way to get to church.
Okay, didn't know that.
No matter what, because that's from my grandmother. Oh. She introduced me into church at a very young age. Right. She's the one that baptized me the first time, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's from her, because I remember, because I was actually with her when she passed away. And I just, the one thing I remember her always telling me, no matter where you are, find a church to go to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is such a blessing when you're with your loved one when they transition.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
It's nothing like it to see them cross over. Even at a young age, it teaches you about life.
Yeah.
And the fragility of life, and that there is a life after, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's good that you were exposed to that, to be able to see that, yeah, part of life is death and going on to be with the Lord. So
yeah,
that's a good thing.
And I remember when I first came into the church at the old location, I instantly fell in love with it. Like, I just felt amazing energy as soon as I walked in.
Oh, wow.
And like, I felt like my grandmother was there with us. Wow. Like, yeah, this is definitely going to be the church I'll be staying at.
Oh, wow.
The one thing I like about the church is, you know, a lot of times people play church, act like they're something that they're not. But I really feel as though, like, the people that the Lord has allowed to come through the doors are real people. They don't put on any airs. They are who they are. And we're all just trying to get better in the things of the Lord that we might see Jesus and our loved ones again should we die in Christ.
Yeah. You know, I agree with that, Lady J. And for me, it's all about being transparent. Because when I first got introduced to church, I said, oh my gosh, the pastor, this person is so high and lifted up. Oh my gosh, how can I ever be like him? But I found out that pastors are just men like other men. They know who the Lord is. And so I wanted to make sure that I don't just, I communicate the life of Christ and the good news of Christ. But also when the Lord tells me, I talk about some of my weaknesses and the things that I have to overcome so that people can understand that this walk that we walk.
It's not perfect.
No.
At all.
It's not perfect.
Mm-mm. So like at the end of the day, we're all human. We all make mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
No one is perfect but God. Right.
But God. He's the only perfect one. And so we strive for perfection. But at times we fall short.
Yeah.
But remember, he said that my strength is made perfect. So we can glory in our infirmities knowing that when we're weak, God is strong. So. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had to come and be a part of this. I'm so thankful. For you to be a young lady and you're not trying to make a twerk video. You're not trying to dance with the red light on. I'm just praising God because it's so needed for your generation to have, and that the Lord is still raising up young people that know him, that really know him and live according to his word in every aspect. Not to say you're a perfect person. I don't know you to not be a perfect person, but I do praise God that you have the boldness, the Holy Ghost boldness, to stand forward and to stand out in Jesus' name. So it was a yes for me before you even said something. I was like, podcast you? Yes, let's do it.
So you have a platform. The Lord has given you a platform. And when the Lord gives you a platform, he gives you an anointing to be able to operate in that platform to serve him and to do his will and to do his purpose. And so again, when this platform blows up, I just want to be able to say, hey, I was there. I remember that first episode.
Okay? It's blowing up. Yeah. Anybody that follow me, follow Angel in the True North. This is the real deal. Okay. I know her before she was famous. And she was definitely a woman of God, even as a young teenager, 13 years ago. And we praise God for the family and the cloth that she's been cut from and the examples that have been shown to her that she's able to stand out. So follow Angel. Follow her.
That's right.
What's your Instagram?
23. It's only Angel. It's only _ Angel.
Yep. And and it don't matter what day you look at her post. It's still going to be about Jesus. She's not going to be like on demon time one day and then the next time saying a prayer. She's going to be doing the same thing. It's consistent.
Exactly.
No, that's a good thing. One of the things I've never talked to you about that I like about you, Angel, is the fact that when your mom is down and when she's ill and has some health issues, you're always right there by her side to help her, to assist her. And she's told me on several occasions that you're really handy around the house. And so that's good because I believe, you know, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I think when you plant those seeds and you do good works towards those who have helped to raise you, those who have helped to house you, those that feed you, I believe those come back 100-fold. So keep planting those seeds. That's a good thing. That's God. Yeah. That's what God's all about.
You know, like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. Like, she was willing to open her house to me and my sister.
Wow.
And she was, like, not even, I don't think a full year even us to staying with her. She's like, I want to adopt you guys. Is that okay? I'm like, of course.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
That's nice. And then she wasn't a crazy foster parent. Like, you see, you hear so many horror stories of people opening up their doors in the name of whatever, and it's no Jesus in it, and the people are crazy.
Yeah. So God's hand has,
or they just want to check. So God's hand was definitely upon you, and I'm glad that there are people in foster care that are doing it as ministry, and they're doing it the way that it was designed to do, instead of just sitting back trying to supplement their income. And whatever other craziness that goes on in those homes, may God bless those children that they heal, that they might move forward and not be tainted by the examples that they see in those homes of perversion.
And we do got to mention that Sister Sandra Perrin knows how to put her foot in the food.
Oh my God, your mama can cook. Ooh, Jesus.
Lady J don't eat everybody's food. She don't like nor patronize everybody's food. But Sister Perrin, trust me and believe. I don't know if you remember that time you brought that whole big old thing.
With the foil, food be so good. I mean, you take your finger and just run it across the foil.
Yeah. So I hope you're taking copious notes, C-O-P-I-U-S, copious notes when it comes to cooking, because the lady...
Oh, yeah, I got to learn from the best.
Yeah, she's really... And I'm not saying that to be, you know, whatever the word can be, you know, because sometimes you say things
to patronize
or to flatter someone. No, those are lies. The lady can cook.
She can cook.
She can season the food. She knows what she's doing.
She got all the seasonings.
Yeah.
In every season.
Salt, the pepper, the paprika, all of it. The garlic salt, the garlic powder, all of it. I can just taste it in there.
Yeah, I had to mention that because, you know, this experience is a real deal. But I appreciate how you support the family. You're a family person. So let me ask you, so what's in your future? What are you looking to do? You're a young lady now and you graduated from high school. Kind of, you know, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in this season in your life?
In this season, I'm like really wanting to focus on growing the podcast, you know, getting more people to come on the podcast, you know, get it out there more. Because this, like, my generation, like, because people that I graduated with, I graduated in 2022.
Oh, okay.
And so some of the people that I've graduated with are having babies now.
Yeah.
And just, like, wow. One of the dudes that I graduated with, a few of them got arrested, having babies. It's like,
Yeah, wow.
We need the same.
Like, y'all are 20, 21 years old.
Now, being thrust into motherhood. All those who are out there that have children, God bless you, because I can't even imagine. I'm a man, number one, but even as a man, having a child that young without a wife, and it's just an incredible amount of work. Mm-hmm. And also from a financial and economic standpoint, you know, you're birthing children, and don't take this wrong, anybody, but you're birthing them usually into poverty.
Yeah.
Because if you can't sustain and take care of yourself, and now you have another mouth to feed, I mean, instantly you're put into the system, and if you're not in the system, then you have an incredible amount of support coming from home. And if you're getting that support from mom or dad or from grandma or granddad or from one of your siblings, really thank God and really be appreciative of that support. Because it's a very difficult thing to raise a child, mm-hmm, when you're practically still dependent and not independent.
Yeah, so shout out to the single mothers that are doing their best to make it happen and sacrificing because their kids can have when they're going without, and the G-mas and all of the people and the support and the aunties that's stepping up and the grand, everybody. Shout out, because, you know, it does take a village, but most importantly, it takes the Lord. So I'm just happy to sit here with a young lady that knew the Lord at an early age, that her grandmother sowed those seeds. So grandmas and G-mas, don't get weary and well-doing, and take them kids to church. You can see from this young woman that those seeds are our planet. It works. So we've been asking you, what kind of questions you got with us? What you want to know?
Well, how did you find your calling? Well, your true north, so to say, and your music?
Out of pain, out of life. You know, I've gone through things and seen other people that I love go through things. And it's sort of like, I don't know if anybody's ever watched Living Color, but it was this man on there. He said, wrote a song about it, wanted hit ego. And a lot of the conversations that I would try to have, they weren't readily received by those that I loved who were in those bondages. So I thought if I put it to the music, if I allowed the Holy Spirit to work through me and to put it to music, not only would the Lord be able to take the music to where it needs to go and get possibly my family and loved ones to listen, but to other individuals who are going through the same thing. So a lot of my music, or most of my music, or all of my music, first of all, it's going to always be about the Lord. You're not going to have to doubt or wonder if I'm singing about Pastor and my love for him. Hey, and I do love Pastor. Yeah. But when I put it on the track, it's about Jesus. So, you know, and I just always try to make that message clear that he is our hope in the time of storm. So I hope that it continues to encourage people. And if you follow me, make sure you follow Angel and listen to the podcast every week. So, yeah, that's how I got mine. A lot of prayer, a lot of fasting. Just being humbled and being in that space where you allow yourself to be transparent. That's the hardest thing about it. The transparency that comes with doing ministry. Sometimes you don't want everybody in your business and to know everything. But then the Holy Spirit will give the unction and the Holy Spirit will release you to share those things that you wouldn't normally share and to have that confidence in God to know, you know what? It's okay for me to share because what I went through is for someone else. And that's what I pray the music continues to do.
Okay. Very. Another question that I have for both of you, actually, is do you see a difference in the way that, you know, this my generation compared to your generation serves the Lord? Like, do you see any, like, differences or, like, anything compared to, like, when it was you first came into church as to now?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll kick it off. Just a couple of things that just drop into my mind. I think that any generation is a reflection of the culture of the world at that time. And so when I was coming up, when you come to church, you have to dress your best. So you always had to have your best clothes on when you come to church. I come from a generation where respect is not just wanted or tolerated. Respect is mandatory. And so, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. That's the kind of culture that I grew up in, and I believe that those things transcended in the church. I think there was more respect in the church. There was more order in the church. Some things, some ways it was good. Some ways, maybe not so good. Maybe it was a little stuffy. And I think if I try to compare and contrast it to right now it's, hey, you know, just wear whatever you want to wear. Come as you are. It's kind of like that. Young people have a voice. It wasn't just sit over in this corner and shut up. Or just, you know, do what you're told, or this is grown people's conversation. I think now in this culture, I think young people are more, the ones who are saved, who are in the church, they're more active. And I think that their expression is not as narrow as it was back before. Mm-hmm. I think before you had young people who would work in ministry, but they were always under the tutelage of an adult. But now I see ministries where young people are doing like a singles ministry and things like that. And the pastors give them, you know, full reign. Hey, do it the way you see fit. And so when you bring in the culture of rap, you know, I heard my wife introduce me. They have gospel trap music. Now, I would never think that that would be a genre in the church. Gospel trap. Now, the old me would have said, oh, no, there's no place for that. But I'm more open-minded now because I'm going to listen to the music and really listen to those lyrics.
Yeah.
To see if those lyrics are lining up with the attributes and the characteristics of the Lord. Okay, so there was a song, Lady J helped me with it. I struggle with it because it says something about God, Holy Ghost, when you're going to pull up or something like that. Remember that song? About pulling up or something. I was like, oh my goodness. Why? Because I have the type of reverence I have for God. God is never my boy. He ain't my dude. He ain't, you know, he's not on that level with me. I don't have that type. God is God supreme. You know what I mean? And so I think that there are liberties with the young culture now and how they have their relationship with God. I'm not here to knock it. I'm just saying my perceptions are a little bit different because I grew up in a different era.
Yeah.
And in that era, the culture was different. How I converse with my parents. And if I converse with my parents with a high degree of respect, how much more am I going to have respect for God? So I think the difference is the culture, which is the music, which is the language, and it's how we dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I still believe that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Today's culture, today's young person is no different than the models, two models ago, you know, grandma's model and all that. So yes, the culture has changed in the shaping of it, but the PUE is the people. People still want to do what they want to do, and people still fight those boundaries, you know. I think the major difference between your culture and the cultures before is accountability. We were from a do as you're told, do as I say, not as I do culture. And your culture is, we're not with that. You need to be held accountable. I saw what you did. And you call the wrongs wrongs, and you call the rights rights, and you cancel the people that you feel need to be canceled because they aren't doing right by other people. And I think that that level of accountability is something that's shocking to older people, because older people feel like, you know, now that I'm of age, everyone should do A, B, and C. But your generation is like, no, we're not doing that. And as far as how they worship and how they come to church, I really feel like it's the last days. And the pouring of God's Spirit is leading young people both in the church and outside the four walls of the church. For example, True North, gotta listen to the podcast. So, you know, people like Angel, people like yourself, that are going out and that are not following this spiritualism, but are truly following and are being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord is going to elevate. And so I'm just looking forward to seeing all of the mighty things and the works that you're going to do for him and how he's going to elevate you in this season, because it's so needed. And that's the difference. You don't need an okay or an approval from anyone to step forward in the things of God. You got your own personal relationship. And I think that there is a place for that. I praise God that, you know, you talk to pastor about the things that you're doing in God, but I also praise God that you're not afraid to do them. And that's the major difference in how I feel your generation moves different than past generations. They're not given things to do by people. They're hearing what they need to do from God.
I like that. I would tend to agree with most of that. I think just to add on is that, you know, what the young people find out, though, when they hold, you know, individuals that they would hold in high esteem, when they hold them accountable, that it is a wake up call for the adults. But then I think for the young people who do that, they get to learn when they get older, they'll understand how their parents move and how elders move, because then now they're walking in the moccasins. And because of the challenges that come with life and the problems and the issues, then they find out what life is really about. It's hard to understand life when you only see one perspective, living in a particular home. And some things you may not like, some things you may not agree with. But when you get that out there on your own, and now you can blaze your own trail, so to speak, then you'll find out what life is all about. And with that comes maturity, right? Yeah. And with that also comes an appreciation. Even though mom and dad didn't maybe get everything right, you know, you're appreciative of the fact that they did the best that they could.
Yeah.
So it's a great time for us. I've grown so much through the Lord, through my children. They've taught me so many things about me. And I you know, I couldn't do that with my parents. No yeah. way. Because I had no voice in my house. There was one voice. That was my dad's voice. Grace! I still hear it in the back of my head. So I didn't have a voice, whereas my kids, we've allowed them a platform to have a voice. Pastor, you know, now you're supposed to come. You're supposed to come with respect. But it's only because of God. If God wasn't operating in my life, I'd be like more like my dad in a lot of areas. Thank God for evolution, right? We're evolving.
Yeah, and like...
from faith to faith.
Because, like, growing up in the church, like, I've been to quite a few different churches. Because I've been to quite a few different houses.
Gotcha.
Because after my grandmother passed, we went with my aunt, and then my aunt got sick, and then we moved in with our cousin, and then my mom went to prison, and then we had to move again, back with my aunt, and then back with another cousin.
Oh my goodness, you've seen a lot of households.
Just back and forth. Yeah. And then my mom's cousin, who we were actually staying with while she was in prison, they were the ones that actually put us in the system.
Okay.
And so my mom actually didn't even know that we were in the system until she got out.
Mm.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, so she didn't even know we were in foster care until she got out. And so, and she couldn't get us back because she, you know, she was just fresh out of prison.
Yeah.
For God knows what reason.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't pry about it because, you know, mm-hmm. that's between her and God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't need to know.
Well, she served her time. She's doing good.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I love the fact that you don't appear, at least to me, to harbor any resentment or bitterness over being put in the system, right? Because the system actually benefited you when yeah. you got linked up with who you're with now. So, wow. Well, God, that's a testimony.
That really showed how God had his hand.
Because some, yeah, he did. You don't think about it.
We angel tree
think
all the time. Could've been. And we oh, never thought goodness. That, you know. That
some people that come through that foster system have gone
they are,
through.
They're messed up. They went through some heinous situations.
Serious abuse. And mm-hmm. We thank God that God had his hand on
it. Yeah, like I don't have any hard feelings towards, you know, my mom. The people that put us in the system, yeah. like, you know, mm-hmm. like I could have been off a lot worse if I mm-hmm. hadn't been put in the system. That's me right. and Alicia,
right?
You know, we could have
right.
been dead somewhere.
But you know, it right. makes me think of like the story of Moses when they were in a bad situation because they had paid the decree that they were going to murder all of those kids. So then she sent her baby up the river, and then he ended up in the palace. You know, and I think that maybe them putting you in that system is what kept you out of harm's way. It was like them sending Moses up the river, up the Nile, and then you landed in a place where you should be, that, you know, the Lord could continue to keep you whole and protect you and your sister. So, yeah, that's a blessing. And I like the way you're so transparent about it and candid. I know that's going to minister to a lot of young people.
Sure. 'Cause
you don't see people who come from those situations readily share and talk about the benefits of it, you know, when it's done in the right way and for the right reasons.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah. And like, I love Miss Brand because we're obviously not her first foster kids. You know, mm-hmm. she's had other foster kids. And I don't think, because I think Lisa was the only kid she ever actually fully adopted. From what I remember her telling me, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But me, Alicia, and Lisa, I believe are the only ones she ever adopted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Now we can say, so that's why we love Sister Parent. Who loves Sister Parent? Real gospel love, Sister Parent. Is it true? We do, we
you know, it's
do.
It's never how you start, we it's do, how you do. Finish. And so God has a plan for your life.
Yep, you can't thwart it. You can't get around.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And so you're going to find that, you know, just serving God and being with God, he's going to allow you to navigate through this world. And when you listen to him, his plans are just amazing. So
yeah, and it's funny because I actually had the idea of starting a podcast while I was still in high school. And wow. I didn't start it because I ended up praying about it. It's like, yeah. It's not your season yet.
Yeah, that's fine.
And so I had set it aside, and then I just recently came back to it, prayed about it, was like, do it.
Right, that's good. And I love how sometimes God does, you know, he plants that seed and tells you, okay, this is what's going to transpire, but then it doesn't happen immediately right then. Sometimes there's a season of cultivation, right, where you got to go through different things and experience different things, and then he says, okay, but I told you back then, now is the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you carpe diem, which means to seize the day, you seize the moment, and you walk forward in the face of God. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And like, who's with Alicia, she also grew up in the church, but obviously she's not as much in church as she was yeah. when we were growing up, which is totally fine. All of my siblings got kids now. Okay. I'm the only one that don't got no kids.
Oh, wow.
Quite frankly, I don't want no kids right now.
Right,
they
right,
can
right.
keep them. I'll be the guy auntie and watch your kids for you. Like, I'll watch them for a couple hours, but they got to go home.
Right.
You know, I don't know anybody that's young that has a season where they don't kind of like, you know, I still love the Lord, but right now, especially when you have kids and they're young, it's hard getting all them people ready and trying to get them to come to church. But, you know... You just keep continuing to pray. Like I said, shout out to the single moms. It is not easy. I have two sisters who were
single parents, and I saw how they struggled, but how they made it through. In fact, my one sister, she'll be an empty nester soon. So I just thank God for the journey, and thank God for being able to be a witness of how His grace and mercy will make up the gap when maybe the dads won't.
Amen.
Yeah, because me and all of my siblings are all 3 years apart. The biggest gap is Alicia and my brother. Mm-hmm. They're 5 years apart.
Oh, they're five. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but everyone else is 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. And I find it hilarious because every single last one of them has two kids. They all had their boy first, and then they had their girl.
Wow. Mm. So, in the pecking order, you are Alicia's how many years older than you?
Three.
And then your brother is how many years? He's
8.
8 older. Okay, so he's the oldest. Okay, gotcha.
No, my oldest sister, Tasha, she's the oldest. She's 32.
Oh, okay, she's 32. Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
So you gotta let me know when this is gonna air so I can put it all over my Instagram, the church's Instagram. We can be like, hey!
I should have everything edited and uploaded. If not by today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. It'll definitely be out by Monday.
Okay, yeah. All right, good. Yeah. Send us the link so we can share those.
I think it's gonna be important for you to just be real with your audience. And you know, I don't know a lot about social media. I've learned a lot from my wife. I don't even know how to navigate through a lot of the apps. I don't. So
He don't want to learn. I'm just going to preach the word.
Because I don't want to get caught up. It's too much.
It is a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, there's an investment of time. And I'm learning. You know, my wife's been teaching me some things. And I listen to the things she says. She might not think I do, but I do. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is that you have to have consistent content.
Yeah.
You lose the people online if you don't have consistent content. Some people, they'll follow you to the ends of the earth, but you have to have consistent content. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're looking for you.
Yeah.
And if they don't see you, if you're not readily available, then they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get them back once they're gone.
Yeah.
Even though they don't tell you they leave, okay? So if they follow you, they're still following you. But they're not following you.
Yeah.
So sometimes that can create a gap where you're thinking you have all these followers. Yeah, on TikTok, I have 5,000 followers. Woo woo. But then when I do Bible study on Wednesday, the stream's been canceled out because I don't have anybody looking at it. So I see others that are doing well with their ministry on TikTok, but they're on it all the time.
You don't have to worry about TikTok because they done canceled the TikTok. And when is that leaving? In a couple months?
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Pastor. You don't hold know.
Hold on. Breaking news.
You're not on social media. That's why you don't know.
Angel, what happened to TikTok?
They're banning it.
They did. Wait, hold on.
It's completely gone now.
Wait, hold on. So when I was looking at it, the House representatives voted to ban it. Mm-hmm. But then
the Senate
had it. So the Senate voted?
It'll be gone in a few months.
It's over.
Wait.
It's over.
They're not going to purchase it?
Nope.
Why would they sell it? We only make up like
90%. So wait. Hold on, y'all. This is good. This is groundbreaking for me. So wait a minute. So you're telling me right now that the current ownership of TikTok is not willing to sell?
Why would they want to do that?
Well, they would want to do that, Lady J, because when they look at the current viewership and how much money they're making off that millions of people in the U.S.
Nope.
You stand to lose that.
The U.S. doesn't even make up a tenth of what they are worldwide. So why would they say, hey,
we don't make up a 10%, then let them go.
If you don't sell it, you're not going to get our less than 10%.
So we lose our voice on TikTok. So who's going to pick up those, what do you call it? Not providers. What do you call the people who make content, the content makers, what do you call them?
I don't know, but I changed.
They have to switch platforms now.
Right. So what platform is going to be
Instagram,
the beneficiary?
But it's going to be algorithms. It's going
to
be
people went to TikTok from. Yeah. And I know this. They went to TikTok from
Instagram
IG
and Facebook.
Yeah. So are they going to go back? Because what's the new platform that people are going to run?
Because right now it's in the air from TikTok or not TikTok, Instagram and YouTube. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two places that they can go.
So wait a minute. How can they?
That Twitch.
Hold
is
on. No, let me ask a question for the audience.
I like Twitch.
So how can they? How are they going to successfully ban it? The app won't be available.
It won't be available anymore.
But wait a minute. But if you have a virtual private network, a VPN, and say I set my VPN to Europe, and Europe has TikTok, then Europe, I can get.
Europe will still most likely have TikTok.
I changed my country to Europe.
Hey!
When they first was gonna ban it, because I was like, I gotta see TikTok. But they probably gonna know because of my VPN or whatever. But I was just like, whatever that
is. So this is real. There's no appellate court that's gonna look at appealing it. What did the people, when did this happen?
This happened fairly recently.
You gotta get on social media.
It happened very recently. When they were talking about banning it.
Was there any type of protest or anything?
Not that I know of.
Because honestly, they had their signs and stuff.
Yeah, because they've been talking about banning TikTok for like 3 years now.
But see, that's what's so interesting about it.
Because they were going to ban TikTok in like 2022 when I graduated.
Yeah, they were talking about how, like, unfortunately, our congressional workers, they're the least productive, they were saying, of like so many different congresses they've had throughout the years. So one of the things that they were saying is, you know, all of these protests about guns, you guys going to school and not worrying about getting shot, all of these protests about Black Lives Matters, about health care, nothing was done. But they can come together and make an unbiased and reach across the aisle to ban the one thing that most Americans have loved and learned to enjoy, especially during COVID.
Yeah.
TikTok. And it's so sad.
And
we can't do anything about hot wages, but we can come together and reach across the aisle for TikTok.
Yeah. Because they were saying they were going to ban TikTok like a while ago, and then it just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we're just going to ban it now for good.
Maybe because they couldn't get
Associated Press said, no, TikTok will not suddenly disappear from your phone.
Yeah, we got six
nor
months.
Will you go to jail if you continue using it after it's banned.
Okay. How are you going to continue to use it, though?
Because once you delete the app, you can't get it back. I don't think you can reinstall it after you delete it.
Every tablet I have.
Oh, they have a little bit of time. Okay. They got 9 months to sell the company.
Yeah, I don't think they're not going to sell it.
Why would they sell it?
They're not going to sell it.
That is so goofy for them to say. That's like being a bully.
Wow.
We don't like the algorithms that we can't
control.
So it'll
be at least a year before the ban goes into effect.
Okay. We don't like the algorithms and we can't control the information that's going out. Nor can we make money out of it. You got to sell it or we're going to be in it.
Yeah. Like, y'all are so mad because y'all can't control people's phones.
Right, and I'm telling you, it was a lot of people getting educated on that, like about Black history. For me, it was the Native American history.
Yeah.
Like, you know, seeing the things that happen and looking at their Congress, their meetings and how they do business. And it was, and seeing what the reservation looks like, going to other countries, seeing what's really happening, like with these wars, and even on Snapchat. If you go to Snapchat and you look at the map and you click on the map, you can see what's actually happening in those places. Like, so, it's amazing.
Because it's TikTok, because this one actor, he's Indian. He got his braid cut off. Mm. Somebody committed a hate crime against him, cut his braid off. And they beat him up, drug him in the woods, and cut his braid off.
And it was good people getting canceled. I mean, you go out here acting crazy if you want to, and then they post your video, and now you can't work, you lost your job. That's not funny.
I gotta read this.
That's not funny, but
it's
amusing.
So India banned TikTok back in 2020.
Mm.
So how did the people react? It said TikTok users and content creators needed a place to go. And the ban provided a multi-billion-dollar opportunity to snatch up a big market. Within months, Google rolled out YouTube Shorts. I remember when those came out. And Instagram pushed out its Reels feature. Both mimicked the short-form video creation that TikTok had itself.
Yeah, it ain't the same, though.
That's
not the same.
So you end up...
It doesn't feel as organic as TikTok, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, like, it's everything is going downhill. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
It's the highest days, Miss Angel.
What a perfect time for your podcast, because everything's going downhill. We look at downhill as being south, but we're looking to go true north.
Hey!
So what's your true north?
What is your true north?
So your podcast is timely because true north means we're going in the direction that God would have us to go, even though everything looks to be going to pot.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. So let it keep going south. Because true north is still going to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says that we look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing all our help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's a good thing. Well, I want to thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is good.
I appreciate the platform to all the young people. Hey, young people, be sure to follow me at Officially Lady J.
Remember we used to say back in the day, remember our slogan, Lady J? You want to hear gospel music.
Oh, but view gospel music. Tune in to
Real Gospel.
So you can show up at the church and hear the real gospel. Yeah. But if you want the music to go with it, go to Officially Lady J.
Right. No, but this was amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Let this be just something that fuels you to continue to go higher in the
Yes, be encouraged.
Just be encouraged. Just do what God has called you to do. And your name is befitting. In Bible times, people were named certain names, not because of how the name was spelled, but what the name meant. And so angel means a messenger for God. So that's what you do. Use this platform to be who God called you to be, which is a messenger for God. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get to meet some of your viewers at one of our services.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Here at Real Gospel on right. Facebook or Amen. Instagram or TikTok till it's canceled. I think TikTok is like Pastor T.L. T.L. Wilson on TikTok. It's no Real Gospel on TikTok. Just the Facebook Real Gospel one.
Yeah, we got a year ago.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time. All right, thank you.
Well, thank you guys for being a part of the podcast on the very first episode.
Woo-hoo!
I appreciate it. Yeah, till next time. Love you guys.
All right, love you too. Take care.